of God who cleanses us. See, the engraving was like the priming of a pump. You ever done the old-time pump? Some of y'all don't even know what I'm talking about. Now, I never lived in a house like that, so that's not going to bear. But I've seen these pumps. You throw some water in, you pump real hard. If that doesn't work, get a little more water. Throw some in, pump it. Pretty soon, got some going on, man. It's great. Woo-hoo. And it's cold, usually, too, because usually it's well, real cold. You bet. What I'm saying is this. Those engravings, all that sacrificial system was all God saying, listen, this is the priming of the pump. Think about it. These are lambs aren't worth your soul. So God must have something better. And when they would lean in and they would read the scriptures and they would see what God did, he would paint pictures like taking two little doves. And one dove, he would say, if you sin, you're poor, you don't have much money, he would bring two doves. I'll take one dove. The priest will take one dove. He'll wring its neck and pour blood in some water. He'll put it in the bowl. He'll take the other dove. And he'll put that dove in the bowl. And he'll put a lid on it. And he'll wave it before the Lord. Then he'll open the bowl and let the one go free. Picture! The blood of Christ was shed so I could go free. And when I went free, I got cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. That's what it is. These were statues. Hear, O Israel, he says, I want you to do these things. I want you to observe to do them. The word observe means to guard, to jealously guard it, to do it and do it diligently and do it in an artistic way. Get into it. He says he wants you to fear. He wants you to do these things. In verse 4, he says, he tells us what God has provided as far as good things. He's given us a pattern to go through and over again and goals for his people that we would attain to these. And then he says in verse 5, he says, that thou shalt, or verse 4, he says, Hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one Lord. What he's saying to them, in essence, is this. He's saying there's only one God. He's saying, Lord, hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, He is the Lord. He is the one God. You say, well, that's nice. You could say that. But listen, He didn't just say it. He demonstrated. He parted the Red Sea. He sent plagues upon Egypt. You know, if all this stuff was fable, people would have said, foul, wrong, I was there. All those people in Jerusalem that sacrificed Jesus on that cross, I mean, when they offered him up, and he showed himself on the day of Pentecost, and he showed up with the Holy Spirit. He had ascended just 10 days before, and here they were in Jerusalem, and the Holy Spirit fell, and the people who put him to death, 3,000 of those people got saved that day. Now tell me, if everybody was lying, would 3,000 get saved that day? I don't think so. It says, we were here. What do you mean? No. They saw miracles. God showed himself strong with miracles. And you know what the miracle is now? The miracle is that he took a Dave Davenport and turned him from a sinner to a saint. He said, you think you're a saint? Not by my word. The Bible says he imputes to me the righteousness of Jesus. I stand on righteousness because I'm in Jesus. I'm immersed. That's what baptism pictures. I'm in it. I'm in there. He took my judgment. I'm no longer guilty. My sins are gone. I've been saved. Do you still sin? Well, yeah, but I'm dead to sin, so it can't hurt me anymore. But I can mess up my fellowship. Another story. The Bible says in this passage that he gave good things for them. And what did he give, first of all? He gave them a revelation of himself, his person. He says, you know, he is the Lord thy God, and he is one in verse 5. And the verse 5 says also, and you shall love the Lord your God. You say, well, that's interesting. Somebody commanding you to love them. You know what's interesting? Lincoln really doesn't love me yet. He can't. He just doesn't have that capacity. He doesn't even recognize his fingers. But you know what? When he treats me, when I treat him good and don't drop him on his head like I did Amber, explains a lot, doesn't it? No, just kidding. And don't drop him, you know, if he jumps and I catch him, if I tickle him and he loves that, and if I throw him in the air and catch him, it's that fun. Eventually he's going to love me because he's going to know I'm all there for it. I'm good for him. I want him. You know what that is? That's a reflection of God. At first you can't understand you need to love him. That's a commandment, to love the Lord your God, but you don't understand why you should, because we've got this malaise going on. We're like the baby. we've got a little bit of an insanity going on here that it's called sin, and it's in our members, and we think we're just doing what comes naturally. Yeah, you are. It's called carnality. It's called sin. It's called the flesh. And yeah, you're doing what comes naturally. Muskrat love. Let's just chase skirts if we're guys. Let's just let guys chase us if we're girls. I mean, it's all about that, isn't it? Every song, getting the girls, going after the girls, doing whatever you want to do in this world. I mean, it's just all about that. Because that's what we worship today. Licentiousness, immorality, and sin. It's very natural. That's why everybody's doing it. You're going to die. And when we get to the very end, it's very important that we are right with God. Jesus said, I'm the way. No man comes to the Father but by me. You've got to be right with God. There's no other way under heaven whereby men must be saved, the Bible says, except through Christ. No other name given under heaven whereby we must be saved but through the right name of Christ. God gives us his person. He says we're supposed. Or not in the Greek, because this is Hebrew. I was going to get to that in a minute. Let me hold that thought for a second. In the word heart, you know what that is? That's your emotions. God wants you to love him with your emotions. That means you're lit up about God. Do you know what worship is? Proskuneo in the Greek is the word proskuneo is for worship. The Lord seeketh such to worship him in spirit and truth. Worship him. Proskuneo, Greek word. Pros means toward. Kuneo, we get the little word puppies or canine from it. It means to kiss, but it also has the idea of licking of a dog's hand. God wants us to cross connect with him. He wants us to love him with our hearts. He wants us to be all lit up about him. And some of you know what that is, maybe not because you love God like that, but you love something like that. I saw a guy here about a week ago, stopped in to talk to him about a car he had out. I talked to him, this guy's 85 years old, man. He's a great guy. He's got cancer. He's going down. What's happening is, I'm talking to this guy. He says, let me show you something. He takes me in, and he starts showing. I don't even know this guy. I just talked to him about it. He takes me into his house. He throws this cover back, and he's got this 1967 Swiss convertible Mustang. This guy's 83. He's got his Mustang. I said, where do you get one? I said. He said, I actually cut this thing in half. I repainted everything. Everything's original. The interior's original. That's original. That's an original steering wheel. Convertible. Sweet car. He didn't stop there. He takes me to a... This was a week ago. And then he tells me he's going away for the winter. Or something. Tell me where it is. Don't ask. Throws back this up. Beautiful thing. I don't even know what it's called. I think it might be an Austin Healer or something, but it's beautiful mint, 1950. You know what he was? Something, thing he wanted to talk about was that. What do you want to talk about? What do you want to talk about? You want to talk about yourself? You want to talk about your sports team? You're lit up, you're worshiping it. You're posting that one. If somebody talks about Jesus, you're light up. When somebody says, hey, let's go to church, you say, man, I'm in. Why? Because you love him. There's no place you'd rather be than around God's people and around God's word. You say, man, somebody's saying it. Let's get behind that. Folks, that's what worship is. Are we worshipers? God wants us to be. He says, you're supposed to love the Lord your God with all your heart. He wants you to get into it. Because when you get into it, guess what? It's like patty cake with a little link in one of these days. Patty cake. I might not be able to do it because I'm kind of crippled with this stuff. But, you know, if I'm trying to get him to react to me, like get my eyes, that's cool. He's reciprocating, right? And you know, as soon as I begin to reciprocate with God, God begins to interact with me. You say, I'll believe it when I see it. I tell you this, you believe it, and then you see it. God says, I don't make any apologies. Just look around. This world doesn't say you hang on nothing for no reason. I did that. You want to say that's a goofy happenstance? Fine. I'm willing for that because I'm God. I make no apologies. I'll meet with you and talk about it later. We'll talk about it later. But right now, I've given you an abundance of evidence. He wants you to love him with your intellect, your soul. In the Greek, in the word soul in the Greek, and this is where I was going a moment ago, is the word psuche. We get the word psychology. It really has to do with the intellect. Psuche, soulology. You know, a psychologist is a soulologist. And yet, really, what are they doing? You're dealing with the mind and how it works, you know, what you're thinking, all the different stuff. Psuche, your intellect. God wants you to love him with your mind. Do you know why? Because he's given you a book that's got a whole lot of statutes. We know new things today, don't we? And if you'll just read it,
He is.
Spoken in Genesis 1, the Word who became flesh in John 1, the King who comes in Revelation 19, they're all the same person. There's a scarlet thread in this book, and he takes to the shadows in the sacrificial system, and he manifests himself at the river Jordan when John is baptizing. He cries out, "Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world." He's everywhere. It's engraved. It's a statue. He says, "I want you to be excited about this, because this is good stuff." We're in Sunday school this morning. We're talking about all the good things that God has for us and all the bad things he has for those who don't know. The rapture happens. Boom! We're out of here. But if it happened today, would you be still sitting in that seat? You say, "What's the rapture?" Well, if you don't know what it is, you can see me. I'll tell you about it later. But the Bible says he gives good things to his people. The first thing he gives is himself. He says, "You must love me. Love me with your emotions. Love me with your intellect. Love me with your will, with all your might." You know, when David brought back the Ark of the Covenant into our Ark back into Israel, he just wanted it. It's really what he wanted. His heart was lit up about it. He said, "I got to have this thing here." And he just messed and messed here and messed there, and he finally had to get put it off to the side. Eventually, he did get it in. And he was dancing in the street, and only his look, and he was so lit up about God, he didn't care. He was just kidding. He was dancing in the street. He loved God with his God. His wife, Michael, says to him, "Oh, wasn't the king glorious today? Making an idiot out of yourself." He said, "Don't be like me. Shall I not dance before him with whom he acted?" The Creator, the one who at least shows you mercy. And David knew God. And he found mercy when he needed it most. I may revisit this next week. I'm going to wind down dedication today. But what I want you to think about this morning as we close this, because I want you to realize that God is and there is no other. I want you to realize that when he gave statutes, that wasn't a dirty word. When he gave commandments, that wasn't a dirty word. They were for your protection, just like a good parent says you need to brush your teeth. You need to go bed at a good time. You need to eat a good breakfast. You need to take care of yourself. You need to eat your vegetables. You need to behave yourself. You need to be moral because your heart depends upon it. Because if you're not moral, what happens is you carterize this conscience. The more you carterize it, the more you create a groove in your heart, the harder it is to see straight. So just keep yourself clean, keep yourself straight, and you'll be healthy. You don't have to worry about anything. Just keep yourself straight. He gives them admonition. He tells these guys in Israel, "You're going to talk about me in the morning. You're going to talk about me at night. You're going to talk about me when you go out, and you're going to talk about me when you come in. And one day your kids are going to ask you a question. What do these things mean?" And he's going to say, "You're going to tell your kids this. God brought us out of Egypt that he might bring us in to the land." And that is a picture of how God brought you and me out of sin and brought us in to the land of blessing in Christ. Once we are saved, we're brought out of sin, we're brought into a good thing. He gives us a lot of good things to occupy ourselves with so we don't have to get messed up in all the goofiness. And that's what he does to protect us. Would you bow with me for a moment?